the Lord's Prayer, where it says in verse 10, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I came across something that somebody passed on to me about, "Lord, teach me to pray." And it says this: "I cannot pray our if my faith has no room for others and their need. I cannot pray Father if I do not demonstrate this relationship to God in my daily living. I cannot pray who art in heaven if all my interests and pursuits are on earthly things. I cannot pray hallowed be thy name if I am not striving with God's help to be holy. I cannot pray thy kingdom come if I am unwilling to accept God's rule in my life. I cannot pray thy will be done if I am unwilling or resentful of having it in my life. I cannot pray on earth as it is in heaven unless I am truly ready to give myself to God's service here and now. I cannot pray, give us this day our daily bread, without extending honest effort for it, or if I would withhold from my neighbour the bread that I receive. I cannot pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, if I deliberately choose to remain in a situation where I am likely to be tempted. I cannot pray, deliver us from evil, if I'm not prepared to fight evil with my life and my prayer. I cannot pray thine is the kingdom if I'm unwilling to obey the king. I cannot pray thine is the power and the glory if I'm seeking power for myself and my own glory first. I cannot pray forever and ever if I'm too anxious about each day's affairs. I cannot pray amen unless I can honestly say, cost what it may, this is my prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done." So there's two things about the kingdom I just want us to briefly look at. Your kingdom come, that's an inevitability. What's the kingdom? How will it come? Where is it? Can we see it? How can we enter it? And secondly, your will be done. That is a statement of intent. What is the will? Yielding our will to God. And how does this bring heaven to earth? So your kingdom come. What is the kingdom? Well, some of you who read your Bibles regularly and study them, and I know there's a good bunch of you who do that here in Yelmton, hooray. Praise the Lord for that, because some of the churches I minister to, there is a Bible poverty, and they're not looking at the Word, and they're not reading the Word, and they're not opening it every day and say, "Lord, speak to me." Thankfully, there's a different spirit here, so praise the Lord for that. So you will know in John chapter 3, there's a gentleman who comes to Jesus at night, isn't there? What's he called? Nicodemus, that's right. And he is well versed in the laws of the Jewish religion, is Nicodemus. He's a Pharisee, and he comes to Jesus at night, and he would have been highly regarded within his community, but he was spiritually clueless. And Jesus speaks directly into his life, his heart, and his situation about the kingdom. So Nicodemus, blah, 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 he goes on a bit, doesn't he? And then Jesus says in verse 3 of John chapter 3, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom." You cannot see the kingdom. And then he says two verses later, "Most assuredly I say to you," this is a religious leader, "unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." Seeing the kingdom, entering the kingdom. They're two things that are critically important for us if we want to be in a right relationship with God. Two critically important things: seeing the kingdom and entering the kingdom. The fact is, The kingdom is here in part, and it will soon fully come. That's exciting, isn't it? For those of you who are aware of spiritual things and of kingdom matters. The most crucial thing we need to concern ourselves with is, and for those whom we love, is can they see and by the grace of God enter the kingdom? Can you see the kingdom? Some of you can. Okay. And are you in the kingdom right now, here, today? Amen. Amen. Okay. Some of you are. If you're not sure, that's absolutely fine. But just listen to what God's word says. And if you're not sure, at the end of our service together, we can pray for you so that you can be. Because God wants you to be sure. God wants you to know that hope and that peace. So no one's having to go at you. And I am coming under the word in the same way as I'm preaching it, okay? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We often pray this wonderful and powerful prayer, and we will do shortly, but it's important to realize that we need to be part of the answer too. To be part of the answer, we need to be people of the kingdom. We need to be people of the kingdom. So we need to see the kingdom to enter it. So what are we talking about? Well, I'm not sure. I think I know most of you. Do we have any Basils here? We have a Basil. Excellent name. Now then, Basil, that is from the Greek basileia, which means kingdom. Did you know that? You probably did. It comes from the word, so you're a kingdom man. Amen? Amen. He certainly is. Yes. Basileia is a kingdom. It's a Greek. Interestingly, it's a feminine pronoun. So the kingdom is a she. I'm not going to go into all that debate, but anyway, interesting thought, isn't it? Okay. What is it, or she? The kingdom isn't a geographical place, is it? But the kingdom is wherever the domain of the king is carried out. Kingdom, the domain of the king. So where God's will is done, that's where the kingdom is. That's exciting, isn't it? So when we are obedient to the will and the purposes and the plan and the word of God, God's kingdom comes. Things start to happen. As you were praying, Josie, prophetically praying, honouring the name of Jesus and speaking out the word of God. That was a kingdom prayer. Because you were declaring the truths of God and the kingdom power was being released. That's why this is so important in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So quite simply, the kingdom is the domain of the king. Wherever the royal reign of heaven is done, the kingdom comes whenever and wherever the royal decree of King Jesus is obeyed, fulfilled, outworked, and put into practice. Okay? So you can talk the talk, but unless you don't walk the walk, the power cannot be released. Because you're a hypocrite, you're a God flatterer otherwise. And again, I'm preaching to myself because from time and time again, I've fallen into that trap. So our wills, we'll come on to that in just a moment. Where do we see the kingdom? We see the kingdom where God's will, his royal will, is done. And It's been my joy and privilege over the years, and we're planning another trip in February to go to other countries and meet with believers and seeing what God is doing in wonderful ways, in natural ways and in supernatural ways, and we're seeing the kingdom. As some of you know, recently I had the privilege of going to South Africa and I was picked up by a random guy from a random church. I'd never seen him before. I got in his car and he took me off to a township. Now, you wouldn't get travel insurance to do that. But this is a kingdom divine appointment. This was a brother in Christ. And he took me to a township where white people don't normally go, and it was wonderful. I met with kingdom people, and they were worshipping the king. There's an instant bond, and it was wonderful. I saw and experienced the kingdom in the worship. I saw and experienced the kingdom in the praying, in the joy, in the warm welcome, in the genuine demonstration of humble thanks. I love the kingdom and the kingdom people. And to see it here in Yelmton, it's not just in Africa, I see the kingdom here. When we pray together on a Monday morning, awesome. Bonkers, isn't it? Getting up and praying at 6:30 in the morning, weird. But it's kingdom stuff. We see the kingdom as we open up God's word together, as we listen, as we show respect and love for one another. We may not always agree, but it's a kingdom stuff going on, isn't there? It's wonderful. See the kingdom at work, in the coffee mornings, in the speaking together, in the fellowship. We see and hear the kingdom. I trust with the eye of faith, those of you who've got it, you're seeing the kingdom. You're seeing the kingdom, and through simple faith and trust in Jesus, you are entering the kingdom as you turn away from those dark and wrong things and you look to Jesus, and there's that wonderful grace, isn't there, offered to us. The kingdom is amongst us and within the ones who honour the king, who love the king and who trust the king and who say yes to his kingdom purposes. So moving swiftly on, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done. We dare to pray. Now then, are you a willful person? Are you a willful person? There's good willful and there's bad willful. The bad willful, I read it this morning in, I think it's 2 Samuel 15:23. It says about willfulness against God is known as rebellion. And it says here, I think it's 1 Samuel 15:23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Yikes. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So if you know what God wants you to do and you are willfully not doing it, we need to repent of that, go in the wrong way and turn, and for goodness sake, as soon as possible, get on the narrow way that leads to life. Do not go down the broad road that leads to destruction. For goodness sake, I plead with you, in Jesus' name, turn around and get onto the narrow way, as I've had to do from time to time when I've been deceived, when I've stumbled. But as soon as I turn around and say, Lord God, forgive me, we're restored and we're back on track. So it's not a condemning word, but it is related to the reality of truth and our willfulness. So there's a bad willful, but there's also a good willful, because it is okay to be willful if it's for God. And if it's for good and in accordance to his will. And he wants a willful people who will not give way to the ways of the world, the flesh and the devil, but who will follow Jesus come what may. Whilst I was away a few weeks ago, I read a fantastic booklet published by the Barnabas Fund entitled Turn the Tide. I did send an email with a PDF. It is online. And they are seeking to do God's will in the UK by seeking to canvass those in Parliament to bring a new law to protect religious freedom in this country, which is being seriously eroded. And I'm pleased to say Gary Streeter is behind it, our MP, bless him. And he's involved with this as well. They are saying, Barnabas Fund, on behalf of the Christians in this land, to the politicians and those in authority, this is what they say: in the light of the British tradition of fair play, tolerance, diversity and equality, and in line with the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights, 1948, we call upon the British government to introduce a new law to enshrine fully and permanently the hard-fought-for religious freedoms we have gained over the last five centuries in the UK. These, at the moment, are being eroded by the demonic stronghold of so-called political correctness. And you can quote me on that, by the way. For example, we've recently seen in 2017 a Crown Prosecution Service lawyer claim that publicly quoting parts of the King James Bible in modern Britain should be considered to be abusive and as a criminal matter. In 2016, a student who had fled persecution in Africa was thrown off a university social work course in the UK because of a Facebook post affirming a traditional Christian view of marriage. In 2015, the government proposed imposing government registration and inspection of Sunday schools, something the UK abolished more than two centuries ago. Thankfully, they've backed down on that recently. In 2015, a prominent Northern Ireland pastor was prosecuted for a sermon, also published online, in which he strongly rejected the Islamic doctrine that Jesus was a Muslim. In 2013, Nadia Iweda, a Christian working for British Airways, had to appeal to the European Court of Human Rights to win a six-year legal battle after being placed on unpaid leave for wearing a small cross around her neck at work. Thankfully, that's been overturned now, and she's allowed to wear that. Freedom of religion and other historic freedoms, such as freedom of speech, freedom of the press and academic freedom, is increasingly under threat in the UK. Centuries of progress in achieving full freedom of religion is now being put in reverse. So there are seven important aspects of freedom of religion which have become central to our national identity and values. They need to be protected by a specific law. So some of you have already signed the petition. I've got another one here and you can do it online. But the freedom of worship, that was achieved in 1689. Freedom to read scriptures in public, achieved in 1547. Freedom to interpret scriptures without government interference, because that's what's happening now, was achieved back in 1559. Freedom to choose or change your faith or belief was achieved in 1689. Freedom to preach and try to convince others of the truth of your belief was achieved only in 1812. Freedom to build churches, synagogues, etc., achieved in 1812. Freedom from being required to affirm a particular worldview or set of beliefs in order to attend university, hold a public sector job, or stand for election was achieved in 1888. All these seven are being currently challenged by law and by legislation. So we do need to wake up to the kingdom purposes of God. We do need to act in a democratic and loving but firm way and say this far, thus far, and no farther. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it does have a practical application. So friends, it's a reality check. There is a cost to doing God's will. I probably don't need to tell you that, do I? The world, the flesh and the devil rail against God's will. Even our own flesh at times. Unlike a tyrant and lunatic dictator, of which there are many, the God of heaven perfectly balances his justice, his righteousness, his grace and his mercy. And he's taken a huge risk because he's given people free will. He's given everyone on the face of the planet a choice. We are not robots. We have a choice. Yikes. If I was God, I think I'd just build robots. It'd be a lot easier, wouldn't it? giving people a choice. What a risk. What a mess. Human beings are made in his image, yet they have, on the whole, chosen to do their own wills and not God's. Hence the problems we have. We want to do it our way. Now, we're thankful to God for the Thanksgiving service you had on Tuesday. And I want to affirm Terry's ministry. He carried on. And praise the Lord for that. Obviously, during the course of my own ministry, I often have to conduct funerals. Sometimes I go to the crematoriums. And not more than one occasion, as I've been waiting to conduct my service, and the previous one is just finishing, they're playing the music, I did it my way. I thought, oh dear, I hope you didn't, because you've got a problem. All dressed up, nowhere to go. Unfortunately, there is somewhere to go. If you did it your way, very nice. But if it's in line with God's way, excellent. If not, your kingdom come, your will be done. See, we always want it our way. We want people to listen and obey us. For many, they want God to do the same. I know quite a few people who have faith in God up to a point, providing God's like a genie that they'll refer to every so often. They'll rub the little pot, get him to come out and do what they want him to do, then they stuff him back in and away they go with their own lives. But he's our Father, and he wants to be in a relationship with us. Seeing and entering the kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'll close with a testimony. I'm aware time is getting on. I've told you, honest with you, I've come under this word this morning. Occasionally I've stumbled and gone the wrong way, down the broad way. And by the grace of God, through others coming alongside me, through God speaking directly into my life, I've stopped, I've turned, and I've come back onto the narrow way that leads to life. Doing God's will. When we do God's will, and only when we do God's will, when we're in a complete relationship with Father that's open and honest, there is total freedom, total joy, and life in all its fullness. I can testify to that. Because when I've gone my own way, it leads to depression, leads to misery, leads to bondage and captivity. When I've gone the way of Jesus, there really is a fullness of joy. And the enemy, the flesh and the devil will say, no, you want to do your own way. That's the only way you're going to be happy. And the only way I'm really happy is saying I'm dying to self. And I'm following Jesus, giving him all I've got. Jesus first, Jesus last, Jesus only, always Jesus. I've got that written in my Bible. That's my motto. So, to close this part of the service, we're going to sing and then share communion together. Can you see the kingdom? Can you therefore enter the kingdom? If you cannot, if what I've been saying is just a muddle, well, humanly speaking, you can be forgiven for that. But what's the Lord saying to you this morning? He's saying to you, choose life. There is a kingdom to receive. There is a kingdom to inherit. And if you can't see it, if you don't know how to enter it, then call on the name of Jesus. Because he is the gate into that kingdom. Because he is the king, as we've been affirming this morning. So I'm going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to apply his words. Because it's not of human beings what we're talking about this morning. It's of the Spirit. So we need the power of the Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. And would you please apply this word, that we may see the kingdom. And if there's any here this morning who don't see the kingdom, who don't know what I'm talking about, who haven't yet entered, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would convince them. You would convict them if they're going the wrong way. if their wills have become more important than your will. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've not come to condemn, but to save. So, Holy Spirit, come and apply your words. Convict us where we have gone wrong. Steer us back into that narrow way that leads to the life. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So let's sing as we prepare to share the bread and the wine. We're going to sing, Your Blood Speaks a Better Word.